And now this from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg, and joining us from our Bismarck studio, Sue Balcom of the Rootsellers Farm near Mandan. It is time for Main Street Eats.
Sue, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, and normally you're very sweet, and this time I just have a feeling you're going to be a bit salty.
Oh, boy.
I've been accused of being salty before, or was that salty language? I'm not really sure. But yeah, who doesn't like salt? You know, the thing that made me think about salt today was salted caramel apple pie.
Stop it.
That I saw, and I thought to myself, you know, that's 90% of eating anything, isn't it? The way it's described to you, you know, and who doesn't like salty sweet? Well, there might be a few people that don't, but, you know, salted caramel this or sea salt that or salted chocolate whatever, whatever. You know, people are mixing their sweet and savory all the time. So as a sauerkraut maker, of course, I have researched salt because, oh, I got to tell you this story. When I was young, one of my mother's friends, I overheard her say this to my mom. She's like, I don't know, but Sue is such a know-it-all. She always has something to say, and she always knows this or she always knows that. And I thought, God, that kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. I was only in high school back then, and I didn't realize that about myself till I was much older. but anyway, we had a, you know, I think it was very popular to experiment with turkeys and grills and stuff back then.
Yes.
And so they were going to make this turkey for this picnic, and they were going to use a spray bottle with salted water in to baste it while it was on the grill. And so I'm sitting at the kitchen table, and they're mixing up this salt water thing, and this woman, this friend of my mom says, well, I, you know, we're out of salt. I don't have any salt. Oh, wait. I have some pickling salt.
Uh-oh.
I think I'm going to use pickling salt. And I sat there and said to myself, self, you could be like really nice and you could say you don't want to use pickling salt, or you could just keep your mouth shut and see what happens because you don't want to be a know-it-all, right?
Well, don't leave us hanging. What'd you do?
I didn't say a word. Uh-oh. That turkey was so salty it brought tears to your eyes.
It was already jerky, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Because as you know, and why would I know this as a teenager? God forbid, I have no idea. But pickling salt is twice as salty as regular salt. And the reason is that there are different kinds of salts and different kinds of processes to create salt that you find in your cupboard.
Well, you know, it wasn't until I was in college that I knew there was something besides iodized salt.
Well, and you know, when it rains, it pours.
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't know if everybody remembers that, but that
Morton
was
salt.
Common commercial with the little girl with the umbrella. And for some reason, people thought that we needed more iodine, which I think is kind of considered a trace element because it's not in any kind of food that we eat in great quantities.
And we didn't have fish here with iodine.
Correct. And in the middle of nowhere, landlocked area anyway, we wouldn't have fish to eat. So they would add the iodine to the salt because they thought it was healthy for us. Well, as time goes by, you know, people change their minds about things. And so now we see all kinds of salt out there on the market. And there are basically three types of salt. There's a processed salt, which is what we're talking about now, the table salt that you see. Iodized salt, kosher salt, and pickling salt are all processed salt. But some of them contain additives and some of them don't. Like the pickling salt that you use, I use kosher salt at home for mostly everything because it doesn't have a lot of additives in that would like make your pickling juice cloudy. Pickling salt is extremely salty compared to kosher salt. And kosher salt, of course, is flakier than your table salt or your Morton salt in the blue box. So it doesn't come out of the shaker. And then I get into little discussions with my husband about why he can't get the salt out of the shaker. And then if the holes are bigger, why does so much salt come out of the shaker? So you can buy whichever kind of salt you want. as more and more people are becoming foodies, of course, we're moving into things like sea salt and mineral salts. And there's a bunch of those, a bunch of different names for them. I happen to love salt that's like you can get black salt, black lava salt that comes from Hawaii. And it comes from, you know, the charcoal in the lava. You know, they have lava explosions all the time, and so they have that kind of mineral in their soil that would make that salt black. But they also have a red salt from the clay that comes out of volcanoes. And salt have been, you know, salts are used in ceremonies, and they're used in the bathtub also.
Epsom salts.
Epsom salt is wonderful. And you know what? Tomatoes love Epsom salt because of the mineral content.
Never heard that one before.
Okay, so when I take an Epsom salt baking soda bath and I need plant water, I'll take it out of the bath. Save it and water my plants. And, you know, they really like that. So,
well, that's that Sue touch.
Yeah. Right. A little bit, you know, pH balanced with the baking soda.
You have
soda.
To disclose that to the farmer's market.
Yeah, but, oh, my goodness. Houseplants.
Okay. Well, I have noticed when I go to the supermarket and if I go into any kind of a gourmet kitchen place, the salt shelves are absolutely packed with options.
Right, and some of those salts come in great big huge chunks, like my pink Himalayan salt, which, oh my gosh, I don't know whether it's the color or they actually have a little different flavor. Do you notice that? There's a little different flavor in some of those salts.
I haven't tried out enough of them, I don't think.
Oh, you don't suck on salt? Oh, my goodness. You know, when we were kids, we used to go out to the field and lick the cow salt blocks out there.
Well, we didn't have the cow salt licks. We had the ones for the deer and the moose, and we left it for them. Right. Just thought that was the right thing to do.
You know, when you have low blood pressure, it's acceptable. Oh, no. So, okay, so we've got, you know, the processed salt, and then we've got all kinds of sea salts that come out, actually come from salty water. You know, the different, like, Celtic sea salt is from tidal pools and the coast of France, and then there's a fleur de sel, which is a flower of salt that also comes from off somewhere around France, and they're beautiful, like salt crystals are beautiful, and the colors are beautiful, like the fleur de sel is kind of a bluish gray, so it kind of looks like it comes from the ocean, and they have high mineral content.
Are these wet?
No, they're dried salts.
Okay.
I suppose it would be like a distillation process where you take the water and let it dry out, and then what you have left, of course, is the salt. Now, this fleur de sel is very expensive because it's so hard to harvest it, because it can only be done on sunny, dry days when it's breezy, and then they use wooden rakes to scrape bottom of the tidal pools. You know, a tidal pool, right? Tide coming in, and when it goes out, there's these little ponds that are left that are teeming with life and apparently salt, too. But I like my husband does not like to use these fancy salty salts. He'd rather use popcorn salt, which is like really fine. But that's also a processed salt, too. But you can smoke salt. And then you have kind of like mesquite, apple, or oak, you know, that would actually flavor that salt.
Yeah. Well, it strikes me that salt would be a great holiday gift.
Absolutely.
And so much cheaper than buying it. It would be just to get one good salt in bulk and then flavor small amounts. Do you have some tips for a couple easy flavored salts?
Oh, well, I'm glad you reminded me of that. One of my favorites, of course, is pink Himalayan salt. And you use the rind of a lime. You kind of like shave the rind off with those little, what are they called? They're like a little grater, but they're
zester.
There we go. Use a zester so you get a real fine lime rind and let that dry, air dry. Don't put it in the oven. And then you mix chili pepper flakes and buy good ones. You know, you can get Asian chili pepper flakes that are way more flavorful than the ones that you find in the pizza shops. Mm-hmm. They're like more pungent and flavorful. And so you mix chili and lime chili and lime with your salt. And then you can buy these tiny little bottles at, you know, probably Hobby Lobby or Michael's or someplace like that and divvy it up. And people have what they call finishing salt. You know, because if you cook a lot, there are rules to when you add salt to what you're cooking.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to flavor things sometimes like you flavor your meats with salt right away. And then, of course, a finishing salt would be something that you'd put in right at the last moment for that little extra punch.
So you can be really creative here.
Oh, very creative. And then if you find that people, your friends, aren't like major cooks, you can always create salt or sugar face scrubs, kind of. There's lots of recipes for those. Or create a bath salt for somebody. I would not use, of course, $80 a pound salt for that. But you can find, you know, flake salt and all kinds of sizes of salt. I don't know what it is about it, but there was always that experiment where you could grow crystals, like when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there's something fascinating about crystals, which is what salt kind of reminds me of. That, and then, of course, snow reminds me of salt. And so, back and forth, kind of.
All right. Well, we've checked in with Sue Balcom about salt. Always a pleasure, Sue.
Thank you, guys.